Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey, and this is a very special...
Wow, I was wondering if you were going to do any singing. It's a very special episode of Too Many Trailers. We are discussing two film trailers about musical-based films.
Band-based music.
Music-based?
Music-person-based.
I was going to go with my term biopic again.
Your term? No, biodrama.
Biodrama.
Biopic is the official.
Biopic is the actual term. Damn it. The biodrama, but that's only really for one of them. The other one is like kind of based on the music, but not really like a based on
there's
the
layers.
We're going to discuss a lot about what we think the movies are going to be like. But yes, they're both heavily based in music/bands.
Yes. Should we tell them what they're listening about?
Yeah, we should say, probably. We've held in suspense for a full minute and 2 seconds.
Act one.
We are so sorry.
Is that the title
of Act One? We are so sorry? Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So, the trailers we will be talking about, the trailers we are talking about today, will be... Yesterday, which is directed by Danny Boyle, and
Rocket Man, which is based on the life of Elton John. I'm like so excited for this. You don't even know.
Oh my
I sang along with both of the trailers.
Oh my god. Every single time I was like,
when he was like, Hey, Jude. I was like, yes, I'm feeling it.
Oh my god. I have so many thoughts about Ed Sheeran. He seems to be coming up a lot in our podcast, the How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah. Oh. I almost forgot.
How can you forget Ed Sheeran?
Oh god, that was like a literal like plot, like discussion point I made in my notes.
Oh, it was like a 3-minute conversation about Ed Sheeran. So we're going to start with Yesterday.
Yeah, that's,
the film, not the concept.
Yeah. Yep.
All right,
so...
Let's do the behind the trailer facts.
Yep, we can jump right into the behind the trailer facts if we want.
So the director is Danny Boyle. You might know him from 127 Hours, Trainspotting, his amazing film,
He's done some biopics similar.
Slumdog Millionaire. And Sunshine, which is a Chris Evans film.
I was like, how do you know the film? Oh.
Oh, yeah. But really, the best film, I think, is Trainspotting with Ewan McGregor. Late 1990s film about heroin addiction. Very, very good.
I don't know. Slumdog Millionaire was really good.
Yeah.
But that's a discussion.
That's a discussion on another time.
The writers, so the story is by Jack Barth.
Mm-hmm.
He's mostly only done TV from what I could find.
Mm-hmm. And we have it's actually written by Richard Curtis.
Yeah, that's the screenplay.
Yeah, and he also helped with the story as well. Composer?
And he,
sorry.
So Richard Curtis has done films like Notting Hill, Love Actually...
Holy shit, really?
Yeah. Bridget Jones' Diary series. He also did, wrote Mamma Mia 2. So that's a shout out to friend of the podcast, Kristen, who co-hosted The Us not too long ago when she was guested to talk about the Us trailer. So shout out. We know you love you some Mamma Mia 2. And the composer for this is our friend Daniel Pemberton.
Who did he?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's good. He's good. So, I like him.
Kelsey's like, sold.
Sold. Just following up with Richard Curtis, that is the most British, like...
Oh, yeah. Like, his entire thing it's, like, is insane. So British.
Like, Love Actually. Like, really, like, hardcore culty British. Type films. Or, yes. Like, culty British films. Like, Love Actually and Bridget Jones' Diary.
I love Notting Hill, though.
I've never seen it.
Oh, God, that's going to change. It's really, really good.
Really? Is that with Hugh Grant and everyone?
Yeah, and he owns a bookstore.
Isn't, like, all three of them with, like, Hugh Grant?
So many are with Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant was, like, crushing it.
Crushing it early 2000s. He was early 2000s
like 90s, rom-coms. 90s, yeah. Early 2000 rom-coms. About a boy. Especially British ones. Oh my god, About a Boy is the most fucked up shit.
Why?
What? Have you seen that film?
I've seen like a scene. Okay. It's like they're at the bench.
Oh no, no. You need to watch the whole film. You'll be like, what the fuck?
Like the fuck? Really?
You should watch Notting Hill though. It's really
okay,
good.
I'll put it on. So the cast we have Lily James. I feel like before I go forward, there are some
Are you upset about this? Because I'm upset about something.
Let's discuss it after the cast?
No, it's about the cast.
Oh. After I talk about, like, just, okay.
Okay, you can go just, first, because I didn't know what you were going to
okay,
say.
Okay, so a lot of the casting, which I thought was interesting, a lot of people play themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I was like, James cool. Corden and Ed Sheeran, there's probably more that, you know, people that we see, which is, I think is just really interesting.
Yeah,
anyway.
Did we see, like, Jimmy Fallon,
Jimmy
too,
I
want to say? I want to
say, yes, because kind of...
Might be.
Might be. Which, okay, we'll discuss it in the trailer. Talk, but... So we have Lily James, Ana de Armas, Kate McKinnon, James Corden, Himesh Patel, Lamone Morris, Ed Sheeran, Camille Chen, Joel Fry, Alexander Arnold, and Elise Chappell. That's the kind of like the main core of the cast.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people credited in the film.
Yeah,
so
because there's like
there's
a
just,
billion
like, so much
and five
happens.
Cameos.
So what is your feelings about the cast?
So, if you're on IMDb...
Yep, I know what you're going to say. I already know.
I know you know, and that's why I'm so upset. Why is Himesh not in the top build cast?
The only... Yeah, because he's
fuck.
The main star, but the only
he's
thing...
He's the main
I could,
character
the,
of the entire story the, and movie, and all these other people are being billed ahead of him, which is just stupid. Like, if it's the movie that you're the main star of, when you look up the casting list... Unless it's going in order of appearance, you should be first.
The only thing I can think of is because Lily James is a more recognizable name and Himesh Patel is, this is his, like, first big film.
I know, but that's fine.
But
we don't do that to other people. We don't do that to white men.
It's called Lawyers.
It's called racism.
It's also called Lawyers and Racism. There
like
is,
that.
It's,
I don't think that James Corden should be getting
granted,
paid more than Himesh Patel.
Granted, this is just the IMDb list. This is not the actual, like, call sheet.
No, I know,
so,
but it's saying, like, top billed cast is those four. Those first
because
four
they're more recognizable.
Up. I know, but I feel very unhappy that James
that's,
Corden is getting paid more for this
he's
film.
He's not, do we not know?
Because
him?
He's
oh.
in the top build.
He's
come before. Because
his
then,
lawyer contracted more, unfortunately.
I know, but I'm mad about it. Because
I'm
he's
going to
be in the film
too.
For about like 6 minutes total, maybe like somewhere upwards of 20 if he becomes a bigger character, whatever. But Himesh Patel should be paid.
He should be paid more, but again, he's... Unfortunately, this is just his first film, and he has probably not as great as Lawyers, you know, as James Corden, who has been in the public eye for literally, like 5 years, unfortunately. You
I
know?
Mean, I love James Corden, nothing
no.
against him particularly,
no,
he's
just
the
no,
one
he's
that
just
I'm pointing out for this,
yeah, and,
but I'm just
I mean,
upset
but we also
because,
have,
like, somebody
you know,
that's...
Kate McKinnon, who is
no,
a huge SNL star,
I know.
And we have
I know.
Lily James, who's also a huge star as well.
It's not anything
I know,
against
I'm just playing devil's advocate, honestly.
I know,
but
it's not anything against them.
No,
I'm just saying that if you're doing the most work for this film, like singing and acting, and you're the main star, you should be getting paid more.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just how life should work.
But
the industry sucks.
The industry
That's
sucks.
It.
That's really what it comes down to, you
yeah,
know?
Not fair.
It's not. It's not. Unfortunately, that's kind of what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Let's take a deep breath. All right. Let's jump right into the actual trailer talk.
My so, first note is, oh my god, Kate McKinnon. That's like great jumping off point. She
comes.
She's in the first like millisecond. Of
oh, because okay, a lot of these trailers now recently have been like doing these like count like 3, 2, 1 countdown to the official start. I'm like, just get to the fucking trailer.
Oh yeah,
okay.
I know.
Okay. Valid. You're not wrong that she's in the first millisecond.
She is. That's
I
why my first note was just like, oh my god, Kate McKinnon. And then the rest are like real
okay.
notes.
Yes, Kate McKinnon's in this. I'm very excited. She plays a more serious character.
So
no. No.
Didn't we watch the same trailer?
We watched the same trailer. I made sure of it. But, she's playing, like, her usual tropey, you know, quirky woman character.
Quirky, but not as... No, but she usually gets very typecasted into very, like, overtly comedic roles. And the fact that she was saying anything that wasn't supposed to be funny
was really exciting. I felt it was super, like, comedic. I thought she was, like, really, like, hyping up a character to be like, you're gonna be, like, the next big thing, like, type manager, like, trope manager thing.
No, I know, and that's, like, a good trope manager style, but it's not, like, the tropey, like, she's usually in, like, the quirky thing that nothing that comes out of her mouth is not, like, funny. Like, think of her role, like, think of, like, Ghostbusters.
I didn't see it.
Well, that's a damn. Okay, here I am. I always think that I have listed out that you haven't seen. What is happening? This does not happen. Kelsey is usually rattling off films, and I'm like, I've never seen any of these movies. And then for once,
I have done it.
I know what's happening, and Kelsey doesn't. You really haven't seen Ghostbusters?
Well, I didn't really have any interest.
So when I said that Chris Hemsworth's character was like his character in Ghostbusters, I saw the trailer.
I saw, like, parts of it. Like, I saw him, he was just, like, the ditzy blonde, you know, character
Secretary trope, whatnot.
I saw the scene. That's all I needed.
You should watch the whole film.
I don't have any interest. I'm not a big Ghostbusters fan.
Neither am I, but I watched it for Kate McKinnon, and it was definitely worth it because it was funny.
Okay. I still really don't have any interest in seeing it anyway. You're so offended.
I'm gonna die. Anyway. Gosh, wow, okay.
This is a very contention-filled episode.
Yeah, wow, we're starting off rough. But at the same time, we're still best friends enough that we just said the same word at the same time. But yeah, so usually Kate McKinnon is like in a very overly quirky role that is overly funny and like nothing she says can be serious. So the fact that she's even playing the role of a manager was like a big deal.
Okay.
Like normally she'd be the sidekick that's like, hey.
Oh my god, that's the best Kate McKinnon impression I've ever seen.
I just channeled a little Ellen. I was like, but then added a little more snap.
Right. Okay.
So I was excited that she's not playing a super duper,
like, overtly, like, funny, like, tropey character.
Super typecasted.
So the actual trailer.
That's part of the trailer.
It was the preamble.
No, she's in the real trailer too. I don't feel bad though.
So it starts off with a, like, the struggling musician trope, where he's playing his guitar to, like, kids at a petting zoo.
That was the most accurate depiction of being a starving artist.
Yeah, he does it really. Danny Boyle was like, you know what, we got to do bring in the llamas.
Fucking just go play in front of some kids.
And it starts, he's like, this is my last show ever. And, you know, it was like, oh, that's depressing.
This is great.
And then there's something over to say, like, oh, this is my last show ever. I'm just going to be, like, riding my bike home and everything. And then we have it starts off with a mechanical device of him. Not only do we have the MVC,
pedestrian
struck by MVC, as we say. We also have the lights, like, blacking out, like, all over the world. So there was, like, this, like, massive reset.
I liked the actual effect of him flying through the air, though. Yeah. That was well done, and, like, well done with the music. It was, like, really well edited.
And I'm curious, is this an alternate universe type situation?
As compared to what?
As compared to, because it's like,
is it like a total, like, we're on a different, like Earth 53 kind of thing?
Or is it just like consciousness transfer?
Well, Jesus Christ, Kelsey. Fuck.
I need to know.
I was just thinking, and then, oh my God, you could make this so much more in depth. I hate this.
Come on. You're welcome.
Why are you making things so intense? I was thinking probably like alternate universe, but I don't know because like at the end, because at the end of the movie, are we going to reset back to the Beatles being famous?
We don't know.
Probably. But the thing is, have you seen a movie like this where things reset like that? They always reset back.
They always reset back. But there's also the fact that there's a quick scene where he's like with like a band like playing on like the roof.
Yeah.
Which is like how the Beatles ended their own legacy and everything. So I'm guessing like...
Is that going to be our end scene with him exactly. And then we're going to reset back? Like or once he goes
are we
to sleep?
Ever going
to
reset? Will Himesh Patel's character just be like, I was the famous musician, what up, bye.
I was the famous musician, the Beatle.
The Beatle. The one Beatle.
But no, my thought was that he's going to like learn some big life lessons from this experience about this and learn to really like go after the person he loves instead of doing whatever and like to stay with what he loves and all that. And then it's going to reset and then he's going to be like, he's going to like tell her he loves her, be like, I do love you. Let me tell you in a song. And then let me play. And then somebody will hear me and I will get my own little contract. Or maybe we won't even end with that far in advance. But he'll be like, learned something like, I need to tell people that I love them. So I'm going to tell my girl person I love her before I die. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think she's his girlfriend. I think she's his friend.
Significant other.
No, I don't think they're dating.
Significant friend.
Okay, I think girl person and significant friend are like the same level of like, what the hell does that even mean? But yeah, I think that that's what's going to happen. And that's how it's going to end. Because have you ever read or watched anything like that before? That's what tends to happen. So unless we're going to be really exciting and not have it end in the very stereotypical way, which would be so cool, that's my thought.
2 minutes.
You are so welcome. You asked! You're the one that was like, man, do you think this is an actual alternate universe?
Or I just said an alternate universe. I didn't say break your whole prediction on the film.
Oh. Well.
You literally just were like... This is my thought. Here we go.
Hey, you should be really happy that I came with that.
Honestly, I'm proud.
I know. Well, then, because I didn't know if your question was supposed to be as in-depth as how I just answered it.
Okay,
I thought you were trying to ask if it was an alternate universe.
Moving on. So he starts to sing the song, and...
That's post-bus crash.
Post-crash. So we have... Before crash BC and after crash AC. So we're sitting at the table AC, and he's like, Lily James gives him a new guitar. So he like, he's like, oh, let me just like play like a little something.
Let me just strum
perfectly.
Let me play this classic tune.
And he starts to play Yesterday.
Yeah. Really well.
That's the title. He's such a good singer.
This is his real voice. It's him singing?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
He's amazing. And so the screen goes black and like the title and then goes Yesterday pops up right when he says Yesterday. And I love that.
Right? It was good.
I thought it was really good. It was like Yesterday was like just something, blah, blah, blah. Like there was like a little like... And so he keeps singing and...
And they're like, where'd you hear that or whatever? And he's like, I'm playing Yesterday. And they're like,
she's
what?
Like, that was amazing.
Like, I don't know. Like, she's like, tears. I was like, oh God.
I was like, that's me.
Really? I know. And then he's like, it's a song by the Beatles.
And every single time, I've seen this trailer probably 5 or 6 times. We'll get to as to how much I like it. And every single time I watch it, I get giddy at that part. I'm like, oh, what is the part? And so it's like, they're like, who?
Oh my God, Kelsey, you can tell that this is the person that also wrote Mamma Mia.
Oh yeah.
Like the giddiness that you're like, who? And you're like, ah! White chicks love a rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And so, and then he starts to sing it. Like, he starts to be like, holy shit.
And then he goes and, like, researches and he, like, Googles the Beatles real quick and mm-hmm. he's like, nothing's coming up! Like, what am I doing here?
He types up, like, John Paul, George, and...
Oh my God, it comes up John Paul, John died.
It's so perfect.
Like, I loved that scene. That, like, individual, like part of that scene. Right. I was just like, this is the greatest.
So, and then, like, he keeps playing, and people are like, no, I gotta hear this amazing music. And they're like, is it Leave It Be? He goes, no, let it be.
My favorite part, I think my favorite, like, single quote from this is when he's like, yeah, and he sings it, or whatever, he's singing something, and she was like, well, it's no Coldplay.
Oh, yes!
And he was like, it's only the best song that's ever been written. And she goes, well, it's not Fix You by Coldplay. I laughed so hard.
Okay, I love that part. No, because I was about to talk about this, okay. Actually.
So
this is something that you always hear when, like, people are talking about, like, music and everything. They're like, this is
a white bitch,
pretty much,
loves,
yeah,
Coldplay.
No, I was gonna say, like, more that it's like, this is the greatest song ever written. Everyone's like, well, oh, yeah, it's not the Beatles. And it's that, like, weird musical elitism that people have about the Beatles. It's this weird thing where it's like, the Beatles is the best band and the most unknown band in the universe. It's like, okay, they're, like, one of the most popular bands.
You're like, you do realize that they're probably the most famous band on the planet, right?
And I think that quote, I think, emphasizes that a lot. It's saying, well, it's not this. Like, this was the best thing. This is an incredible song. Also, Fix You is kind of one of my favorite songs.
Kelsey's, like, low-key.
But low-key, one of my favorite.
Low-key love Coldplay.
But I feel like it's kind of, like, that line is just a commentary of, like, people just, like, automatically, like, fighting for something. Like, fighting to say, no, this is, no, that, or something. Mm. Just to compare, even just to kind of, like, tear people down.
Yeah. People love to be one-uppers.
Yep. And that's what I felt like with that. And that's kind of why the whole notion, excuse me, of the Beatles kind of, like,
we're
stopped.
Gonna sidebar that for later.
Yeah.
That will return to.
Because it's just been, it's like, the Beatles are amazing, don't get me wrong. They're a great band, and I do like a lot of their music, but the resurgence has kind of killed it for me, especially
while... I think we should move this to the end of the conversation, because I feel like this is going to get long.
Yeah.
Do you mind? Do you,
no, not at all.
I just feel like by the time we return back to the trailer...
It's going
to
be fixed. No, I agree.
No, it's not going to be fixed. I feel like it's
going to be
20 minutes from now.
No, wait. So let's
cut. We're going to have a conversation.
Yeah. So the trailer, after the whole, like...
Coldplay
and everything, and so he moves through, like, musical stardom. So he goes on, you know, James Corden. He goes on these, like, YouTube places. He goes through, like, this viral sensation of a modern musician of,
right,
like, what happens, which I think is really interesting.
Ed Sheeran on their point.
Ed Sheeran. I think it's really a notion to modern musicians and how they get their virality and their stardom now.
Yeah.
It's not so much about, you know, going on an Ed Sullivan show. It's going on YouTube. It's going on talk shows. It's,
and,
you know,
like, so I don't like Justin Bieber, but this is
pretty much similar to
how he came. He was one of the first people that really, like, came to fame mostly via, like, YouTube and the internet. And he was one of the first people to really do that very successfully. And, like, starting off on doing that and then getting invited onto shows and then going from there and then getting record deals and things like that. And I feel like, so sometimes you have to sit through the trailer for the Justin Bieber movie, depending on where you are in life.
Yeah.
And the opening, like, when they're kind of, they do, like, a quick flash through of his, and it's similar. It's like
very
him,
similar.
Very similar to all that stuff you kind of see in the middle of this, and that's what it instantly reminded me of. I was like, oh.
No, I agree. I think Danny Boyle has this, he has this mastery of working with color a lot of the times, and sound. He's a very good sound director. Especially because of Slumdog Millionaire, that is a Bollywood film, technically,
right.
and it deals a lot with sound.
Color and like bright color and a lot of sound.
Especially when you're in India, that is a very sounding place. There's a lot of sound and sensory going on, but especially with Trainspotting, where the whole film kind of it hinges on sound and color, especially, you know, dealing with such a dark subject.
Mm-hmm.
Of heroin addiction and opioid addiction within the late 90s, where it was kind of at its first peak
mm-hmm.
back then, where it was very ugly and everything, especially dealing with the English anarchy
mm-hmm.
Phase and culture. And I think he's a perfect director for this film. 100%. He, especially because he's done a biopic before, I think it was Iggy Pop. Was the biopic on?
Yeah.
So he understands, like, he understands the trajectory.
And he's
of
done
musical.
Some other biopics too.
Like, so he understands like the musical trajectory.
Yeah.
Like he can really like hone on his experience on knowing how to place his subject
right.
in the center and everyone else kind of just moving around him.
Right, but in the same notion, this is so different
right.
than any other kind, like.
It's
than most other biopics because
right.
it's not
a biopic.
It's right. It's not. So it's not. It's just using the concept of the Beatles and the music of the Beatles to drive the story, but the story isn't about the Beatles.
It's about Jack. I think his name is Himesh Patel's character.
Himesh Patel.
It's specifically about.
But
Himesh
it's about
Patel.
Him,
right?
But there, he's just using this other, like, this other way of telling that story,
mm-hmm.
Using all music of the Beatles and using the Beatles as this, like, catalyst and jumping off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's, like, different than every other biopic.
Right.
You see,
exactly.
It's
not.
Not.
It is, but it's not because it also works through their stardom. How the Beatles started, you know, writing
right.
and everything. How they got on the Ed Sullivan Show, which is just, like, the same thing where the James Corden Show, you know, they started to play with these crowds and got bigger and bigger, and then, you know, everything might have started to fall apart. So I feel like it is and it's not, and it kind of takes it on its head, and the concept of, from, like, True Detective, of time is a flat circle, where everything, like, kind of repeats itself in a way, and how, you know, we're just cycling through the same things over and over again. So I think that...
History is doomed to repeat itself.
Exactly. Same thing, where Bono put a new classic on the old iPod, and all of a sudden it's just automatically downing CDs to your iPhone. That is a weirdly old reference for something.
That was a very interesting reference. I was like,
I could have used anything else, but that's
okay.
The first thing that came to mind. So,
super like interesting concept of how to like do this though. I really liked the amount of humor that was in it.
Yeah,
but I hope it's not all been placed in the trailer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
I'm just worried that, like, the funniest
yeah.
parts are the parts they showed us.
But I don't think it's supposed to be, like, a comedy, though. I think there's supposed to be, like, humorous parts. Like, I know that, like,
right.
what you're trying to say, but I don't think it's supposed to be, like, a comedy.
I don't think it's supposed to be a straight-up comedy
no.
either.
No, I think they're marketing hard as, like, a comedy, though.
Yeah, I think that's why I think Kate McKinnon's character is going to be much more serious. Like, I think she's going to end up
they
being, like,
put
an
her,
actual
like,
not great, like, I think
right.
she's going to be kind of...
Kind of more grounded.
And like an antagonistic character.
Do you think she's going to be like the evil person? Quote
well,
unquote.
I think she's going to represent the music industry, and I feel
mm-hmm.
like that's always going to be represented as a bad person because
right. well,
they
it
are
is,
bad
but...
people. But I just hope that like the best humor wasn't just in the trailer.
Right, it wasn't like, okay, so we get all the
it's
jokes.
No Fix You by Coldplay. I hope that funniest moment is not going to be the actual, like...
The only like there'll be like three moments and those are all like the true yeah I feel
you know
like,
what I mean
yeah I know what you mean I feel like they might have held back because I feel like they have a lot of jokes with like James Corden or
I think it's like there's the YouTube people. A lot of humorous stuff, and even when he was like doing the research and it came up Pope John Paul II, right. I was just like, good, this, I'm glad it's gonna have like at least elements like a, of humor yeah. and not be like
the serious like film,
right? And then so like how we were talking about that it's using the music of the Beatles to drive the story. That reminded me of the other film that we know that has done the same concept across the universe, which came out in the mid-2000s.
Early. 2007? Six.
So it's like mid.
Mid-naughties, yeah.
Oh, I hate that. Christ. But it did it similarly, but it... So it's using... And it's just interesting, and, like, even as I was watching it, I was like, damn, that would have been a comparison thing, because it was using the music of the Beatles, but in a totally different way.
Right.
So, like, this is using it as the backbone of showing, like, how great the songs can be, and, like, that they are, like, the lyrics are very powerful and inspiring and things like that, and, like, it's very good, and it was, like, an interesting, it was, like, a new theme and a new, like, genre of music that they created. And across the universe, they were using really the songs and the song choices to really show life in, like, during the Vietnam War in the U.S. And it was really well done because they were showing the Beatles themselves' own views on everything. Like protesting, anti-war and stuff like that. So it was, like, much heavier subject stuff. But it's just interesting. It's really cool that you can use these same group of songs to really like
do two totally different films. So Across the Universe is more of a jukebox musical type thing. It's not so much where because a jukebox musical is more they're using the songs within a context of a scene. So right. they're saying they're like, well, I'm gonna sing about like so when he says, "Hey Jude." So in Across the Universe, it's like Jude is she's a girl, you know, she's like or.
Jude's the main guy.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I haven't seen that film in a while. So it's, you know, he's like, "Hey, Jude, do-do-do-do." So he's, like, singing to him, like, right. in a musical sense, like, where you'd be like, "Hey, Andrew, how are you today?" And, like, but, like, where this is more of the concept of they're using the music of, as not, they're, like, not using it in the jukebox musical
right.
sense.
Right, right.
So, I mean... The Across the Universe is more like story wise, and this one's more just it's there
right.
because
it's
the music
there.
Is there,
right? And we're like using it, but we're also using like it specifically. He's
right.
not like, "I just created the entire genre of rock. Let me sing
right.
different rock songs by different rock
it's
artists."
It's like, "Here, the White Album. Have you heard of it?"
Right, exactly. So it's like, but
yeah.
It's just cool.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
Going back on the musical elitism.
Okay, are you ready to go back to the Beatles topic? Now that we've talked about everything else.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm
ready.
Okay. It's just, I felt like a lot of people, especially like when growing up, not in our friend group at all. I'm just going to put that down first. How people always like...
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, because it's like always when people are like, they're like never going to be like... Oh, you listen to the... It was just, like, this weird hierarchy thing that they felt as though that, you know, the Beatles were always this grand...
They're this great, old standard.
Like, the old standard. I mean, like, they were a band for teen girls. I mean, it's... Well, like, at its core. Like, they were the One Direction of the time. Let's be real about this.
Well, I feel like at the beginning.
At the beginning. Like, especially, like, when they're, like...
Yeah, and then when they got political,
well, when they got
like,
political,
then it
obviously,
was just,
like
they
transformed with
the
time.
The teens and the, like, up to, like, 30
right.
age group
were I
really,
feel
like, feeling it because they were having the same, wanting to get the same message across.
Right. Exactly. But the thing is, it was, like, one of those things where people always go, you know, like, they want to say, "Hey, like, I like this thing," and they're going to be like, "No, this is not good. This is good." And it's like, okay, we can have more than just one good band.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The Beatles are, like, ahead of their time. They were incredible. They used different types of music. They drew inspiration from a lot of cultures. discussion for another time about that. Yep. But like, yep.
That we're not going to go into.
Not at all. But I feel like it kind of like sets in motion an idea that we can't have more than one good thing. You know, which I think mm-hmm. it's like we should be able to like more than just one thing. And that's okay if you don't like a thing. It's not the end of the fucking world.
Oh, because you do some very down aggression about this topic?
I might. However, I think using...
Yeah, we're not like a fixed sum thing. Exactly. There can't only be one best. It's like there's a... It's a
and I think... And I kind of have a feeling that this movie will play off that topic. That there can't be a fixed sum.
Interesting.
Because I feel like they're going to go through his, like his highs and lows of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And that if his... Like you predicted in the beginning.
Watch me be right.
Where we're going to try and... We're
going to try and use this experience of being in an alternate universe to teach you some lessons about life.
But in the terms of not being a fixed sum. Being right. Like, because the fact that
I think that'll be something he learns.
They're using the music as a fixed anchor to tie these two worlds together. You know? I get immersed in this trailer.
Yeah.
I get sucked into it.
Kelsey's like, despite the musical elitism that is the Beatles, I really fucking love this trailer.
I really
is that
do.
Your feeling?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Kelsey was like trying to be like nice and like explanatory about it, and I was just like, at the core of it, Kelsey fucking loved this and didn't expect to.
Would you see this based off this trailer?
Yeah, I'm gonna see it. I don't know if we'll see it in theaters.
Okay.
I feel like with a film like this, it's not something that you necessarily definitely need to see in theaters. It's like, it would be good, and it would be really good for, like, the sound quality and things like that. Yeah. But I feel like this is also something that would be, like, it's really good to kind of just watch at home.
Chill and everything, yeah.
And just kind of, like...
Like, watch it in bed before you...
Happily watch it at home and sing along, like...
Definitely.
Not even before bed. I'm envisioning the, like an afternoon time.
Okay.
Like a
good 3 p.m.?
No, the sun isn't that far in my vision. I'm 6:30. Literally envisioned myself watching it, not in my own house, in somebody else's house, which is kind of weird. But I'm envisioning my like the couch I'm sitting on. It all just came to me. Like, Jesus. What Jesus?
After bed, before bed.
ABBB. But, like, I feel like this is something you watch and, like, something you just get immersed into and you mm-hmm. don't necessarily... There's no, like, big, giant effects that you really need to see in theaters. The only thing that would be really good, like I was saying, that would be the sound quality would be nice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I feel like you can watch it at home.
I feel like this, though, because of Danny Boyle, he kind of deserves to be seen on the big screen. Especially colors and sound kind of flowing together. This is like, you count the rows and you count the seats to get the perfect seat.
Kelsey,
in the
you
middle
do that to every film.
Because every film deserves it.
Okay.
Maybe not some, but most
and
of them.
You just made it sound like fucking Ghostbusters did not deserve it. You haven't seen it, you can't knock it. So, Kelsey, does that mean you're going to see this in theaters?
I'm going to see it in theaters. Probably not, like, opening night. But,
I don't think that's necessary. Okay.
Probably not, like, opening night, but definitely not. I'm going to pay full price for this movie. I'm definitely going to, like, a Wednesday.
And my question is, mm-hmm. are you paying full price for that because you like this movie or because Danny Boyle?
Oh, shit.
Both? Okay.
Great.
Great.
Awesome.
So we're going to take a little break after 43 solid minutes of discussion.
And then we will come back and talk to you guys about Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer. boom, 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 boom.
I really loved the added effect of the drums. Kelsey. Thank you so much.
That do not happen in a song.
I know, it's like, I don't think that happens in the song, but I like that you added them. I'm sure Elton John would take it under advisement.
It's the Too Many Trailers remix.
Elton John, guess what we did? We remixed your song on our podcast. He'd be like,
what's
whatever.
A podcast?
That's a really good Elton John voice.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. But that was so funny. What's a podcast?
What's a podcast? He's okay, like 75 years old. I doubt he knows what a podcast is.
I'm sure he does.
Oh.
His
child
is like 9 years old.
Okay. 9 years old don't. 9 year old children don't listen to podcasts.
I know, but he like has to associate with younger people. So and he's his like, husband's a lot younger.
True. I mean, it'd be like really funny if like his 9 year old would be like, hey, Papa, have you heard of the How Did This Get Made podcast?
Make him fucking sound like he's fucking Oliver Twist. Like Oliver asking for another like bite of.
Hello, Papa, can I have some more?
I like that now in your head with that accent. Literally all British people are now like Tiny Tim.
All British people belong in Cockney accents and Oliver Twist.
Are Hello. All impoverished orphans.
If you couldn't Woo. Tell from our beautiful singing voices, we are going to be talking about the biopic called Rocket Man, which is releasing on May 31st, 2019.
I think that's the first time in like 8 episodes that we've talked about the release date.
I think it's because it's like we're
well,
just
that
like,
literally just popped in my brain and I was like, oh no.
I was like, oh, maybe we should do that again. Also, we forgot to introduce what type of show this is.
I know, but we were too far in.
We were
I thought about it constantly, like several times while we were talking, and I was like, we've gone too far.
So now that you were like almost 45 minutes into this show, this is the show where we talk about two movie trailers every week. We gotta
every
get
every other week.
Every other week.
I was like, Kelsey, how much work are we signing up for
I'm
in 2019?
I'm so used to it. I'm so used to February still. Okay. Let's jump right into the behind the trailer facts.
Let's do
I
it.
Think. Obviously, this is the biopic for the one, the only, Elton John.
Elton John.
Thank you for that. The director, it's, Dexter Fletcher. He directed Eddie the Eagle.
Do you know these films?
Yes, I do know Eddie the Eagle.
Jesus, okay, so you know these films, but you don't know the other films?
Okay, I know 127 Hours, Trainspotting, Slumdog Millionaire, Sunshine.
You don't know Notting Hill.
I know, like, of it. I just never seen it
Have
before.
You seen these? Sorry, I should have clarified. Have you seen this Eagle film?
Eddie the Eagle, yes. It's with Hugh Jackman, Taron, He's Taron Egerton. It's about the alpine skier from Britain, who like placed like dead last in the Olympics, like within the 1980s. It's good.
I wish everybody could see my facial expression.
You're like
right now.
Looking like someone dumped a puppy in a dumpster and kind of just was like, I'm going to pick it up again. And you're just like, what? Exactly. Because it, you're just like, huh?
I was like, you've seen this, but you haven't seen all these other films? It's fine. Everything's fine.
Anyway.
he's only... But Dexter Fletcher is a much bigger actor.
Yes, he was in Sherlock Gnomes.
He was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stood out to me, too.
I was like writing down all these films, like, oh, Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrels, Kick-Ass, Doom, and Sherlock Gnomes.
Because why the fuck not?
Because a paycheck is a paycheck.
It's true, and sometimes you want to practice being a voice actor.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to do it. Good on him.
Good for him.
But he's directed probably 4 films.
Yeah, it's all
smaller. But Eddie the Eagle is more like a larger independent film. It had like Hugh Jackman in it, so it had to have some sort of notoriety to get him, I hope. The writer
is Lee Hall.
Only one, but he's done a lot. Like,
well,
He's, I mean...
He wrote Billy, the...
Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot. Yeah.
So I was like...
War Horse.
Gotcha, you're gonna do great.
You're gonna do fine.
If you can write Billy Elliot, you can do this. He also wrote, most recently...
Victoria and Abdul. Yeah.
Victoria and Abdul.
Not
King Victor and Mr. Abdul.
Little strange.
Queen Victoria.
Yes.
But yeah, so he wrote Victoria and Abdul, which is really good.
Mm-hmm. Who is the composer for this film?
Matthew Margeson or Margeson? Not really sure how you.
Is he a first timer on this podcast?
Yes.
What has he done?
He did King's Men, which Taron Egerton has been in, and I think somebody else on this has worked in too. He did some other small things with Dexter Fletcher. I think he might have done your Eagle film.
Okay.
I don't really know what it is.
About a man bird.
I literally thought it wasn't an important film or anything. I really enjoyed it. So I was literally like, don't know any of these things, never heard of them. I was like, probably not another important film. I was like, small stuff with other dudes.
It's another film where Taron Egerton wears a bald cap. So, like, he has, like, a wig on. Yet again. I'm just pointing it out. He wears a lot of wigs. He really gets into it. Anyway.
Character acting. But it was funny. I think somebody here either... Was Taron Egerton in War Horse?
No, I thought that was Daniel Radcliffe. Or am I thinking of Equus?
You're thinking of Equus. Where he is naked on stage.
Has a horse near him.
No, I think he might have been in War Horse because I think Matthew Margeson also did the music for War Horse. There were a lot of connections that I thought
Wasn't War Horse with Benedict Cumberbatch and like Tom Hiddleston? That was a Steven Spielberg film and it got nominated.
It was a Steven Spielberg film. I don't remember Benedict.
Who won now?
Shut up, you're supposed to let it just roll.
No. Never.
But I didn't know that they were in it.
Let me see.
Spielberg did it.
Tom Hiddleston, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Fine, whatever.
David Thewlis, Peter Mullen. You know, you got the British actor archive in there. Let's see.
Did you say Emma Watson or Emily Watson?
Emily Watson.
Less important.
Yeah, I don't
know. But I think it was interesting because some of the people that had worked on some of the films or had been previously on the crew of
there's
other
connection.
Films in
yeah.
Yesterday, kind of mixed with Rocket Man a little bit, which was interesting.
Yeah, so the cast we have is obviously Taron Egerton. He's playing the titular role of the Rocket Man. We have Bryce Dallas Howard, Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, Jamie Bell from The Fantastic Four.
And Jamie Bell... I knew I should have written it down, but I was like, nope, I'll remember what he's in. Oh, he's in Billy Elliot.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
There we go. I was like, I won't need to remind myself of that. That's important enough for me to remember. He played Billy in Billy Elliot.
Oh, holy shit. Wait.
In the movie.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. Jamie Bell? Yeah.
Huh.
It's Billy.
I'm going to have to rewatch that one.
You're like, well, I got to rewatch that with a different filter in my head.
We have Tate Donovan, Stephen Graham.
Donovan. Okay, here's your gay connection outside the whole film.
Wait. The rainbow connection.
It's a little bit construed, so everybody, bear with me.
Marion is setting up like she's about to take a test.
There was nobody else that was gay besides Alan John. Tate Donovan played...
It's a 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh, that's what this game is. 6 separations of gays. It's like the chart on the L word. So, Tate Donovan is on the OC, and he played Marissa Cooper's dad, and Marissa Cooper in season 2 dated Alex, and that was played by Olivia Wilde, and that is your gay connection. That's as close as we were going to get.
Then we have Stephen Graham, Jess Radomska, Charlie Rowe, Hamlet Walter, Gemma Jones, Stephen McIntosh, and Tom Bennett.
I love Stephen McIntosh. He's in the Underworld series.
Ah, okay.
Stephen McIntosh has a wonderful speaking voice that often also is
good
in my
orator.
Head. He's a great orator! Kelsey loves a good heist movie, and I love a good orator.
Oh,
I can change my Twitter bio to that if you'd like.
I will.
What was the other thing that you love a good heist movie and you love a good...
Scoop neck?
Scoop neck t-shirt.
Shall we jump into the trailer discussion?
Let's do it. So I think, like, right as the trailer starts, it's, like, you immediately... It feels like a biopic.
It's the quintessential biopic start.
Right, like, you drop in him, like, sitting at the piano, like, trying to work out,
like I'm a musical genius. He's
like, look at me trying to write music.
Right.
And I was like, well, this is immediately very different than yesterday.
It's going from the immediate inception of his persona.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's this, like, little start where his, like, grandmother's like, oh, who is that?
Are you playing the piano for me?
Oh my god. It starts, honestly, so friggin' slow.
It does. But I was okay with it.
Great.
Kelsey was not. That's no. What I'm learning.
Okay.
You didn't like this trailer?
No, I really didn't, actually. It was actually, like...
It wasn't as good as yesterday, but I still thought it was good.
Yesterday is in its own category.
Just because you thought that yesterday is the best trailer that's come
of 2019 so far.
Wow. I wonder if by the end of 2019 it'll still be your favorite trailer.
We'll see.
Kelsey was... ready with some more factual information, but then immediately dropped it.
I don't know. I just like... Okay, I'll go through my feelings. It's not for me.
Okay.
It's not for, I don't think it's for our generation, or I don't think it's for, no, I shouldn't generalize like that. It's not for the people who didn't grow up, it's for the people who grew up with Elton John.
I don't know. I was interested in it, and I didn't grow up with Elton John. My mom listens to him, like, every once in a while. I know,
my
like, two
family,
songs.
Like, we, like, listen to it, like, when it comes on the radio. Like, my family, like, is, like, they're not, like, huge fans of, like, Elton John or anything. It's just, like, we listen to the music. Like, it was that. I guess it's just because I don't have, like, a deep personal connection, like, with his music. Because I didn't grow up, I didn't associate, like, certain times. My parents did. Like, my dad keeps telling the story, like, where... You know, he was, like, listening to, like, Elton John's, like, record in the basement with all his buddies, you know, in the 70s or...
Interesting.
Yeah. Or it's, like, my mom was, like, oh, I saw him in concert, you know. It's, like, oh, I always loved his style and everything, where it was... And it was one of those things where I feel like because I didn't have that connection like I did with Queen, where it's, like, Queen, like, songs, I know this, I know that. We're like Tiny Dancer, it's like I know literally 2 seconds of the song.
We know that part that we sing.
Yeah. Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer. Like, I know that. Like, it's not anything.
You're like, I'm not out of touch with the world.
Right, exactly. But I felt like because I didn't have this automatic knowing of the songs, I couldn't feel a connection with the movie. You know?
But and then to the counterpoint, like the devil's advocate kind of point. I don't really have any connection except, like, I know the song Tiny Dancer, and that's about it. And, like, I know, like, that and, like, maybe, like, 2 of his other, like, top songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, I listen to when he plays for Princess Diana's tributes.
Of course.
But
who doesn't?
Everybody respectfully watches. but I don't have any other, like, personal deep-rooted connection about Elton John or anything like that. But I was watching it and I was like,
Right. I mean, I think it was because it felt like, I just felt like the trailer was very bland. It was something that, I mean, now that we have had these resurgence of biopics and the resurgence of, like, finally telling these stories of, you know, gay men, like, growing up in the 80s, because now we're seeing it, like, more and more, I feel like it's becoming this overdone topic. Now it's, I just feel like it's been done before. And I think they're really backpacking off the success of Queen and the success of, you know, this sort of like decades-long storytelling that we're having in film a lot of the times now. Like, a lot of the biopics...
Are you saying off of, like, Bohemian Rhapsody?
I think so. Like,
because
that,
the only thing is that, like, if this was coming out next year, I would say yes. But since this is coming out so
because
close...
This happens a lot of time with Hollywood, where they're like, they get this script, and like another studio is like, someone else got the script, we gotta have this. We gotta have this like same sort of storyline where they go throughout their whole life of, you know, starting to play the piano and everyone going, ooh, I love that song. It's very tropey, I think, what I'm trying to get at. It's a very, like, a lot of the same themes, a lot of the same, like, sort of...
So I wonder if you had watched this... So if we had seen this trailer or any of the trailers for Rocketman, if it came out first, if you would still feel the same way.
I don't know. Because I automatically...
I'm just like, I automatically
have this bias towards, you know, biopics. I think it's also... There are a lot of fucking biopics that have been coming out, like, that I've been seeing recently. I don't know, maybe if I take a breather from it.
Maybe we're also just paying a lot of attention to movie trailers at the moment.
It was just, I wrote down, it was, like, even, like, it just felt like a beige trailer. I mean, I don't know, it just, like, it didn't grab me. Like, even with, like, him going, like...
Even when he's in all of his outfits?
I mean, it was just, like...
It was still beige to you?
But the thing was like, we... Sorry. It's not surprising because we know Elton John has done this. I feel like they're doing like, whoa, he's so crazy. He has a feather boa on. It's like...
You're like, he's Elton John, but he's not Elton,
exactly. I feel like this is either for like people who automatically like can like relate to back when they first heard the songs or to like teenagers who are like, oh my God, Elton John is so cool. I'm like... Like, the resurgence of, like, Queen and everything happened with Bohemian Rhapsody. How many, like, Gen Zers were like, I love Queen now.
Oh my God, is this a song by Queen?
Exactly. I feel like that's, like, kind of what they're piggybacking on, and they're piggybacking on the fact that he's on his, like, last tour, and, like, how he's, like, kind of retiring and everything.
I think
which,
that
like,
was more my feeling, was I thought that is that they were doing it because he's also... doing his last tour right now.
I mean, I feel like...
Less so, like, about, like, Bohemian Rhapsody also coming out at the same time and more about that.
Right.
Because I feel like I heard about Elton John and his last tour and this at the same time.
Right.
Like, prior to hearing about Bohemian Rhapsody.
It just... I don't know. It just didn't grab me. I just was like, okay... And I feel bad because of the fact that it's, like, Elton John is such, like, a staple in, you know, 70s music industry.
Right.
It's, it kind of, I kind of feel bad for being, like, you know, it was just, like, it's just, I don't know, the whole, like, my name is Reginald, and then he goes, I like your name, I'm gonna be Elton. It's, like, cool.
Oh,
like, you know, I don't know. I just, like, didn't.
You didn't connect.
I didn't connect. There was no connection.
No rainbow connection.
What are your feelings?
I thought it was good. It wasn't, like, the best trailer I've ever seen in my life. But I thought it was enough. I was like, oh, it would be interesting to learn more about Elton John's life. And I feel like as I was watching it, I was like, oh, that'd be interesting to learn more about. Oh, that'd be interesting to learn more about in his life and things like that. So I felt like for the purpose of a biopic, which is generally to learn more about that or to, like, connect, or if you have, like, a deep-rooted connection.
Right.
To, like, kind of just go from that. But I was just like, oh. And I felt like I wasn't like, I must see this in the theaters comes out. But I was like, oh, I would definitely like to watch this and kind of see. And I was like, oh my God, I can bring my mom to this.
This is a film that I'm definitely going to, my parents are going to be like, oh, come see, like, you know, Rocketman with us. Like, it's like
I feel like I would also watch it by myself.
Like,
but I'm just like, as I was watching it, I was like, who would I bring with me to see it?
There we go. Exactly.
But... I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't, and I'm also just interested to see, especially in comparison to Bohemian Rhapsody, how they address the gay. Oh, so I'm just interested to see, because, like, in Elton John's life, it's a real hell of a lot harder to not
because it's very,
display
like,
the gay.
Big. He's a very ostentatious, you know, performer and
flamboyant,
everything. Flamboyant,
if you will.
Come for me. And especially, like, it shows in his performance. I think there was, like, one thing where he dressed up like a friggin' owl, I want to say, he looked like, or, like, an angel, and he's, like, has wings and everything. He's like, how am I supposed to be ordinary?
That's just Elton John.
That's just Elton John. But it's also, I have never rolled my eyes. I think it's the writing, honestly, that might...
But I feel like this is probably, like... legit probably what he said.
I mean, honestly,
I feel like I'm going out there to be Elton John. screw you guys. Yeah, I'm exactly. going look at my fucking outfit. But
like,
bye.
That has happened so many times in like every single.
But I mean, but also like that doesn't just because it's happened before doesn't mean it's not realistic. Like you know, can't no, make an Ellen John biopic and not have him be like.
It, no, it's true, and I think the reason is I think it's hard to make this movie, I think, what it's coming down to. It's hard to say, like, you can't say you want to make this in the early 2000s because of the type of social climate there was. So, like, people wouldn't want to go see...
We weren't ready for it.
We weren't ready for it, and I feel like now, I think, this has already happened. Like, a lot of
and
stuff...
And they're like, you know what, fuck it, we gotta promote Elton John
exactly.
somehow. Here you go!
Right, exactly.
Biopic!
And I feel like if we do it later, it won't quite connect with enough people, and if we do it, like...
And they're doing it now for...
For just marketing
they're
purposes.
Doing it for marketing.
It's a marketable movie. I mean, yeah. You have people going, like, grandmas will be like, I want to see the Elton John pic, you know?
And like, I feel like it's good for, like, the people that are like, I don't live in an area where I can see the last concert. I don't live
right.
in an area.
Because it's.
Or I don't have enough money
all
because
of
it's going to be a bajillion and right. $85. So, and I feel like this could turn out similarly to Beautiful, like with the Carole King musical. I
mm-hmm.
feel like this could easily be a thing that goes to Broadway.
Right. Oh, easily. Because of the fact it's more of a jukebox.
Yeah, and just because, like.
Right,
you know,
it's everyone
be,
loves Elton
would,
John. I mean, the thing is, like, when Taron
Egerton
is, like, in the... There's a part in the trailer where he's, like, actually singing the music outside of actually, like, doing, like, singing the music. Like,
yeah.
we're talking about
yeah.
with Across the Universe.
Right.
I think that it's going to be... They're doing the movie so they can essentially put it on Broadway. Like, I think that's a great observation. Because the costuming, the, you know, the story is, like, just...
It's
Can
something
I,
that fits with Broadway, though.
It's
so
like, I'll probably cut this out, but it's, like, just gay enough to, like, have enough people go, I'm comfortable with this, you know?
Right, and I don't know how gay they're gonna get, like, that's why, like, I don't want to just see, like, you showing me that Elton John's gay because
he's
wearing
like,
all this shit.
Or,
like
he's,
like
touching a man, like, lightly.
But, like, there were good scenes, like, there was
no, there
good
seemed
stuff
to be, like,
in
the trailer. I was like,
because
okay.
at first, like, he kind of did, like, the wink at the other guy in, like, the first, like, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, probably. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I would honestly be, like, not too unhappy if that was the only thing they showed me right now in this trailer. But then when they had a little bit more and more, and I was like, oh, that's good.
They like
that
it seems to be like
a
little bit
more
like comfortability with
like things,
you know, like
then
emotion
like,
between two men.
Yeah, than maybe some other films have done.
Absolutely, you know.
It's like just let it happen. So I'm interested to see because
I'm interested to see.
I think they're
like
going
to
do
see...
a little bit more serious stuff with that.
I think they're definitely, especially when the scenes with Richard Madden. I mean, like they're fighting, like they're having like an argument, like a couple's argument, in the middle of this huge blockbuster film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important to show. Even though the trailer didn't like it.
So all this didn't grab you, Kelsey?
I don't know. It's really weird to say because I was just like, okay. I don't know. I don't know why it didn't grab me that much. I don't know if it's just because it's like, it's just a thing I've seen before-ish, you know, in some ways or another, you know, it's something I've seen as a trailer. I've seen like the beats are there. The beats are there. It's very formulaic, I should say. You know, it's not anything new. I mean, I think the costuming is amazing. I'll probably see it for that. I'll see it for his story because I really don't know his story. But other than that, I'm just like, take it away. Say I'm like, I don't know. It's like, do what you will. It's not something like I'm rushing to see. I don't know why. I wish I could explain it more.
Okay.
Kind of like a Star Wars where I'm like, I don't know. I can't.
You're like, I don't know why, but I don't want to see it.
And not that I don't want to see it. Like, I'll be happy to see it when I'm going to bed. I'll be happy to see it on Netflix. I just don't feel like I'd be rushing to see this in theaters.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If I see it in theaters, it's only going to be because I go with my mom. I also don't go to a movie theater by myself, so there's that also.
You should do it. It's fun.
Have I been by myself? I feel like it's happened before, but I don't really... I enjoy going with somebody else.
It's weird. I mean, like, it's weird. Like, the notion of, like, it's such a social...
It's gonna be in my head for the next 8 years.
Going to the movies is, like, without someone, it's, like, it feels wrong.
It's like when you go to a restaurant by yourself.
Exactly. Like, it's okay to do that, but it just feels, like, objectively, like, different.
You're like, wait, is this how life is supposed to work?
Yeah. But, like, I've gone to multiple movies alone and loved it.
Sometimes
I'm also very
nice.
Introverted, so it's...
But sometimes it's nice to, like,
yeah.
get, like, and be just totally immersed in the mm-hmm. movie, because, like, I am a talker during movies because I like to make observations and I like to share them with the other people around me. And sometimes that distracts from your movie viewing experience.
Right.
I apologize, Kelsey.
It's okay. The last movie I saw alone was Deadpool 2.
Interesting.
I had a great fucking time. It was, like, also, like, I think it was, like, either, it was, like, the middle of the week I went, no, it was a Saturday, because the movie theater was packed. And, it was, like, at the end of Deadpool 2, and I was, like, I'm gonna go fucking see this movie. Like, I'm gonna do it. I had a rip-roaring time. I'm from the 20s. But, yeah. Go see movies, people. I don't know.
Okay.
What is this trailer?
I feel like that could be the tagline for our fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Go see movies.
Go see movies.
So yeah, I'll probably go, like, only see it in theaters if, like, my mom or something wants to go with me. And if not, I will probably just wait and see this on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely probably see it.
Oh, yeah. I, like, definitely, like, want to know.
Right, just to, like, honestly,
things.
Just to know about his life.
Yeah.
Kelsey's just, like, holding her
just
microphone
chilling.
Up. I fucking can't. We are so tired.
We've had long days at our real jobs.
At our real people jobs. But yeah, so I think that's everything I got for Rocket Man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't really
everything
have much.
And more. I didn't really have much, and then we really got into a much longer conversation.
Longer conversation of rehashing the same beats on overdone trailers. Anyway.
Anyway, so this has been a great episode, musical themed, of too many trailers.
Very on brand for us, I feel like, though, still.
I absolutely. So yeah, if you have thoughts about Elton John's life, about the Beatles, do you think that they're a very elitist band? Do you feel like their music and, like, the knowledge of the Beatles is used as elitism? Tell me all of your long and drawn out thoughts, and send us an email at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. So that's TWOmanytrailers@gmail.com.
If you want to connect with us on social media, you can, we have multiple accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can all see our posts. At Too Many Trailers, that's, I was going to say the at sign, but you already know that. It is TWO Many Trailers, that's Too Many Trailers, TWO Many Trailers. Come talk with us.
Yeah, chat,
have
give us
a
your
fun
feelings,
time.
React to our feelings. What
yell at me,
do?
In a good way.
Okay,
if you're in iTunes, please feel free to rate and subscribe, rate 5 stars, and subscribe in iTunes so you can get regular episodes every other week. We have intermittent
bonus episodes
that come out whenever we can, and whenever we're not tired.
So pretty much whenever we have, like, a really good, like, trailer that we definitely need to cover right away. Or, like, a full-length film or anything like that is when we usually post a bonus episode.
Yep.
But then, yeah, you can follow us. So you can listen to us on iTunes, Anchor, and Overcast. But, yeah, always reach out with any comments,
questions,
feel
free.
Concerns.
We're open, deep thoughts.
Yeah, deep thoughts.
We're
3 a.m.
Maybe we'll answer. Who knows what our insomnia is up to.
Who knows?
But thank you guys for listening. Any other questions, thoughts, concerns?
I don't think so.
All right, cool.
It's been a great episode.
It has been a great episode.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
Ba-da-da-doom, doom, 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 doom. All right.
Bye.
Bye.